It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is Pastor Joe Thompson. How are you doing this morning, sir?
As usual, I'm doing well.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln, located here in Elk City. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, I want to encourage you to reach out to Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln here in Elk City. They can find you what you're looking for. I think I covered it all this morning. Would you be so kind and pray for us?
I will. Father, I just want to say thank you for this day that you have given us. Thank you for the opportunity to be able just to come and to share. I pray for those who are listening now and for those who may see the replay later that you will just bless them, not because of anything that we say or do, but because it is your word that they are hearing. I pray that those who have needs will feel free to be able to send those to us so that we may pray for them. And Lord, there's power in prayer, and not only do we pray for them here, but we also know that others are praying for them as well. And so, Lord, whatever the needs are today, we just want to hear from them, and Lord, we want to lift them up in prayer. And Lord, we just give this time into your care and keeping and ask your blessings upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning.
Song of Praise?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to share about Song of Praise. You know, it's ironic, well, maybe not ironic, that Barber Dyson's our sponsor today, because 3.5 weeks ago my pickup got totaled, and so I was able to go to Barber Dyson and find me a replacement for a reasonable price. Well, nothing's reasonable in our world today right now, but reasonable considering. So I wanted to just put that little plug in that they helped me find something that would work for me. So a little praise for them.
Yes.
But anyway, we're going to be talking about praise, and praise is really powerful. I want to begin with a story from 2014. It was on the night of March 31st, and Willie Myrick was outside taking his Chihuahua for a walk, and he happened to spot a few dollars that were scattered around underneath a tree near where he lived. And so when he walked over to see what it was, to get the money, there was a man who was in a four-door Civic Honda who grabbed Willie and forced him into the vehicle. Willie, as he tells it, says, he was cursing at me and telling me to shut up, and he didn't want to hear a word from me. And he was telling this to the television station WSTV in Atlanta. Willie goes on and says, he said if I told anyone, he would hurt me like in a bad way. The man drove around for 3 hours before leaving Willie on the side of the road in East Point, Georgia. And according to the fourth grader, the reason that the man released him was because Willie irritated him with gospel music. Willie sang the track to Every Praise by Hezekiah Walker, and he just kept singing it over and over and over until he was set free. And if you've never heard Every Praise, or if you've never sung it, it's a great song. Every praise is to our God, every word of worship with one accord. Every praise, every praise, every praise is to our God. Come on, everybody, sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah, is due our God. And there's more that goes with that, but that's kind of the main emphasis of every praise. And so Willie's led out on the side of the road and stranded miles from home. He goes door to door seeking help. And after one person turned him away, there was an elderly man across the street who contacted the police, and they contacted Willie's guardian. And so Willie gets out of this situation unscathed. He was examined at the hospital before returning home. But again, he emphasized that it was singing praise to the Lord that set him free. Kind of reminds you of Paul and Silas, doesn't it? Whenever they were in the prison there, Acts 16, there in Philippi, and they get set free singing praise. And we need to recognize that praise celebrates what God has done, what God is doing, and what God is going to do. It recognizes God even in the challenging times of life. And there's no doubt we're living in challenging times today. We say, well, these times seem to be more challenging than times before. But really, every generation has lived in challenging times. Perhaps the way the challenges come are different, but the form of challenges doesn't change, and it's always Satan who's behind those things that would cause us to have problems, to cause us to stumble. And so when we praise, it gives glory and honor for God's blessings, and it reminds us that even though we might be going through difficult times, God is still there with us. He's always been with us, and it celebrates his love for us. And so Psalm 92 was a psalm that was written for the Sabbath worship in the temple. It's a song that would have been sang by those who were gathered there for worship. It's a psalm that's really appropriate for any time in our lives. And because for us as Christ followers, it says in Hebrews 4:9 that there remains for us a Sabbath day rest. And a lot of people read that and they think, well, yeah, we're still supposed to observe, we're supposed to rest, you know, on Sunday, we're supposed to worship on Sunday. But the whole context of that is the Sabbath day rest is that as Christ followers, as Christians, we are to be in a Sabbath rest in our lives. That's really what the writer of Hebrews is talking about here, and that we are resting from the labors of our sin. We are to be celebrating God each and every day of our life. So that's important for us to remember. And this psalm reminds us that praise is good, and we find freedom whenever we praise the Lord, just as Willie did. And so I want to go through this psalm and examine some of the benefits of praise as we look at this psalm this morning. First of all, we need to understand that praise is a good thing. Verses 1 through 4, it says, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night." In other words, praise the Lord all day long. "Proclaiming your love in the morning, your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what you have done." We need to know that praise is pleasing to God. A lot of times we think, well, praise is just recognizing what God's done, but it's very pleasing to God. As a matter of fact, Psalm 22, verse 3 says, "You are holy, you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel." The King James Version says that God inhabits the praises of his people. But I like the way that the New American Standard Bible puts it. It says, "You are enthroned upon your people's praises, in that he wants us to praise him. God's throne, figuratively speaking, says that he sits with his people whenever they're praising. And praise is pleasing to God's ear. Not the praise of flattery, because we know what it's like to be flattered. And sometimes it's nice to be flattered, you know, as human beings. We like to hear people say, well, you know, this and this. But God's not impressed with flattery. What God wants is he wants to hear the genuine appreciation from our hearts, from our lives, of what God has done for us. He wants us to say thank you. And if you cannot praise God for what he has done for you, then you really fail to understand all that God has done for you. And God has done so much for us, and yet sometimes we sit there and we bemoan the fact of this happened or that happened. You know, I said my truck was wrecked. I could sit there and I could gripe and complain, but I just thank God that even though I was hit by a semi, I came out with a bruise and some muscle strains. You know, that's a praise. That's saying, God, thank you. You know, and besides that, just a little side note, besides that, you know, when somebody says something about my looks, I can go, hey, what do you expect? I got hit by a semi. But you know, we have the choice. We can either complain or we can praise. The choice is ours. And so we need to choose to praise, because God's enthroned upon our praises, and it's very pleasing to God. And as we move on from that, then we see that praise also proclaims God's love and faithfulness to us. Verse 2 points out that praise recognizes God's love in the morning. You've heard perhaps the old saying that man says in the morning, says, Lord, I woke up this morning and everything's good. It says everything's well. Says I just want to say thank you for everything that you've done for me. Then he goes on and he says, but now, Lord, I'm getting ready to get out of bed and I need your help. but praise recognizes that God loves us, and in the morning he wants us to give him the praise, because no matter what happened yesterday, no matter what happened last week, no matter how bad everything was, God's giving you another day. And so we need to celebrate that. And the love that he has given us is the very best in the fact that he gave us Jesus to be our Savior and Lord. And that should be cause enough for us to celebrate getting out of bed every morning, no matter what happens. And when we praise God, it helps in the morning. It helps to focus our day. You know, when I had my accident, you know, somebody asked me, says, were you mad? And I said, no. I said, I wasn't mad. I wasn't even upset that my truck was totaled. I took one look at it and I said, well, that's a loss. But I wasn't mad. I wasn't mad at the other driver, even though it was his fault. I was like, you know, I'm okay. And that, I think a lot of that has to do because knowing that God is with me. And that's true for any of us. Whatever we're going through, if we understand that God is with us, it changes your perspective. And praise will do that for you. God's given us the very best in Jesus Christ. And the love that he has given us, we can celebrate because we can praise him and share that with others, and we can bless others with our praise. And the love that he provided for us is beyond measure. You know, oh, love of God, how rich and pure, you know, how do you write it down? You can fill the sea. If the song says, you know, if the sea were ink and the skies a scroll, you couldn't write it all down. Impossible. of what God has done for you. Praise God in the morning. But also remember, praise Him in the evening, because it recognizes God's faithfulness with you throughout the day, how He has brought you through the day's troubles. And if you understand that His faithfulness has been with you, then it helps you to rest at night. Got a little secret for you in case you have insomnia, have trouble going to sleep at night, or wake up in the night going, can't go back to sleep. Start to praise the Lord. Start thanking Him for all the things that He has done. Because one, it takes your minds off of the troubles that maybe you were thinking about. And two, when you praise God, it begins to relax you and you're able to sleep. So learn to praise God at all times, because He hears us. He knows what our needs are. But when we praise Him for taking care of us, we're able to just say, thank you, Lord. He will meet every need that we have. But we're not only to praise God ourselves in the morning and at evening, but verse 3 tells us that we need to praise God publicly. It says, praise is to be done to the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. And what I gather from this is that praise should be noisy. Not out of order, not crazy. But it should be loud. It should be celebrating God. It should have times when we're lifting our hands. And I understand people worship differently because God created us each as an individual. But we should be celebrating God. We should lift our voices in song. We should lift our voices in testimony. And it's not that we don't praise in private. We've already talked about that. But we should praise God at all times. And celebratory praise can only really, really happen when we join together in worship and praise. Yes, we can celebrate God again privately. But it's when we join together that we inspire one another in the praise and celebrating what God has done. And so make sure that you're on regular occasions with those who worship God and who praise God. Whenever you have a chance to be in a worship service, get there. I've been telling people, you know what? You can sit at home on Sunday morning and you can watch services online, and that's great, and I'm glad we have the ability to do online services, and that's one thing that COVID did was it opened up new doors for us. But some people think, well, I can just sit at home now, and I don't have to go. But no, it needs to be in public. I don't know about you, but... I'm not able to play the 10-string lyre or the harp. As a matter of fact, I can't play any instrument. And so if I'm going to praise with somebody, I need to be wherever those instruments are at, whether it's the harp, the 10-string lyre, the guitar, the piano, the keyboard, drums, whatever. I've got to be there. And so... We need to do that in a very public manner, and it only happens when we join together. So if you're not feeling good, don't show up to church and get everybody else sick. Worship online. But if you have no excuse to come to church, not to come to church, then you need to be there, and we need to do that in a very public way. And then verse 4, it points out to us that praise results from joy and gladness of the heart. And here's something that we need to focus on very carefully as individuals. It comes from the joy and the gladness of our heart. Genuine praise is not drummed up by an enthusiastic worship leader or a fantastic preacher. Nothing wrong with an enthusiastic worship leader. Nothing wrong with a fantastic preacher, neither of which I am. But there's nothing wrong with that. But if your praise has to be drummed up, then it's coming from more from the emotion side than it is from the heart side. And there's danger, in my opinion, when it's just the pure emotion. It needs to be the overflow of God, what God has done in the goodness of one's life. Make sure that it's coming from what's happening in your heart and what's happening in your life. Now, others can inspire you to help you to realize that, so I'm not discounting that at all. But make sure that it's from what God is doing in your heart and in your life, because then praise is genuine. But praise that just comes purely out of the emotion is here and gone. And I hope people understand what I'm saying here. Genuine praise comes from the inner being and is an overflow of God's goodness and what God has done, and is expressed back to God himself. And everybody worships different. Some are enthusiastic in their praise. Some are reserved in their praise as far as exterior emotions. But God's not really so worried about that. He's worried about, are you giving me the praise and the glory? And so make sure that as we're celebrating God here, that we are understanding that it's a good thing. It's good for God because he inhabits the praises of his people. He's enthroned upon the praises of his people. In other words, he's sitting on your praises, guys. And it's pleasing. It proclaims his love and his faithfulness. It's shared publicly, and it comes from our heart. But that tells us what praise is, but praise ultimately celebrates what God's doing. It celebrates his work. Verses 5 through 8, we read, "How great are your works, Lord! How profound your thoughts! Senseless people do not know. Fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted." And so praise recognizes God's work throughout the universe. The psalmist here, he didn't know everything that we know today. He didn't understand all the ins and outs. But he looks at God's handiwork, and he realized that there has to be a designer behind all of this. This just didn't come from nothing. And I would say that in many ways, people from the days of old were a lot smarter than the people of our day, because their much learning has made them fools, as Paul liked to say. And all the learning of our day has caused people to miss the obvious design of the universe and how it came to nothing. Verse 6 says, you know, senseless people do not know, fools do not understand, and people are sitting there and they're going, well, this came this way and this way and this way and this way. Well, there had to be something, and this building that we're sitting in did not happen just automatically. It took somebody who designed the building. It took someone who built the building. It had to be designed for a purpose. Now, it's changed purposes and over time, but it was originally designed on purpose for a purpose. And praise recognizes that God designed things on purpose for a purpose, including us. But if people don't understand this, then their understanding is flawed. In verse 7 says, the wicked sprout up like grass. And they flourish for a little while, but when it's all said and done, it's said and done. they will be destroyed forever. And in the and we know that as there's being a place where they will go to eternal destruction, as we call it, or hell. I tell people that when they ask me about hell, says, is there fire and brimstone in hell? I said, very well could be. All I know is this, that hell is a place you don't want to be, because it means that you're separated from the one who gave you the opportunity to be with him. And the worst torment in hell is not fire and brimstone. The worst torment in hell is knowing that you could be there and you're here. That's an eternal destruction. You can't get out of it. It's just like being destroyed over and over again. So I think that's kind of what the psalmist is alluding to. But praise recognizes that we don't know it all. As it says in verse 5, it says, how great are your works, how profound are your thoughts. We don't know it all, but God does. God's thoughts are profound. He puts it all together. Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. We're bound by what we can experience, you know, as far as this world is concerned. We're finite. We're bound by time, in space. We can look back, but we cannot look forward. I mean, yes, we can look forward to knowing what God has, but just to for me to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow, I can't tell you. Nobody can. We're here in this moment of time. We can't look forward, nor can we control everything that happens in the future. There are certain things we can control or can put in place to help us to control, but we cannot ultimately control what happens in the future. My accident's a good example of that, you know. Can't control some things. Can't control when a person runs a red light. You can't control certain things. And God's not bound by that time or space. He's able to orchestrate what happens because he sees all and he knows all. And so he sees that this is going to happen, and he's able to orchestrate that. And he's able to put that into perspective in a place. And thus, like we put together a puzzle, piece by piece, he's able to put together everything in the right place at the right time and put together this beautiful picture. And as Christ followers, we need to praise God that we're a part of a puzzle, part of the puzzle. And we need to understand that without you, a piece of the puzzle is going to be missing. And so if we're a piece of the puzzle, let's let God put us where he wants to and quit trying to put ourselves where we want to put it. Let's praise God that he knows what's best and that he's going to do what's best. And because God's over all and control of all, he's to be exalted forever. So we need to be able to understand that and do that. Do we have some requests that come in?
Yes, sir. We have a couple prayer requests this morning. Let me do the recording.